Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's second and goal, end zone shot for the lead. It's McLaurin! He's got it! Washington is in front!
I want to start off the show because I just read this, Denton, about 10 minutes ago. It came from Greg, Greg P., actually, who wrote me and said, Kevin, is there any reason to believe that Mariota, with his experience, might be a better option in the playoffs? Jaden has learned so much from him this year, and it does seem like Jaden's running out of steam. Just wondering if you've thought about this. Thank you, Greg. And no, I have not thought about that. Nor should you. Good morning, everybody. What a wonderful Monday morning it is. It's beautiful out there. Not bad, really. I mean, Denton, I don't know about you. Once I got out of my neighborhood, no issues at all. It's not like the roads are completely clear, but, you know, they've been plowed, and so the snow that's on it is packed, and I had no issues getting around this morning and getting into the studio. Did you have any issues?
I mean, it was definitely icy. You know, definitely took it slow. Didn't try and race into work, but I got here with no real issues either. Not a lot of people on the road, which is always nice.
None, in fact. I think when you get that first snowfall of the year, that is the worst. Look, we have these winters around here that are total hit and miss, right? You either get no snow or you certainly get enough of it that after, you know, a few snowfalls, you get used to it. And then we're not as bad as our reputation would indicate. The reputation being Washington drivers are bad in bad weather. Look, we have a traffic problem in this city. That's congestion based on population and not enough roads, you know, in terms of, you know, to accommodate the growth in our population over, say, the last 20, 25 years. I think DC's traffic consistently top two or three in the country with LA and Atlanta. You throw in some bad weather and it's, I mean, even some rain and it makes it worse. But I've been around here my whole life. I think in the winters where we have, you know, more than a couple of snowfalls, by the time we get to the third or fourth one, we're kind of used to it at that point. I don't know. We'll see. Take it easy out there. Look, if this isn't for you and you can stay at home, stay at home. But if you're one of those that don't mind driving in the snow, it's been a lot worse around here. That is for sure. All right. More to come in this storm. You know, there's apparently going to be about a 2 or 3 hour lull, and then it'll pick back up. And I don't know, we're going to end up with probably, you know, 5, 6, 7, up to 10 inches, depending on where you live. Look, I'm just guessing that the email that I just read from Greg P., I'm hoping he's the only person who actually is thinking about something like that. Because if you actually watch this team, can you imagine thinking about telling the guy that just had debatably the greatest rookie season in the history of the league for a quarterback and a top 3 to 5 season this year for any quarterback, that, hey, we're going to turn this over to the guy that is more experienced than you are, and by the way, has not had much success in the postseason at all. If there are any others out there like Greg, just please stop. How about that finish, though, yesterday? How about Marcus Mariota yesterday? He was really, really outstanding. And, you know, I can't get over this. They won 12 games. They went 12-5. Seriously, they went 12-5. And 12-5 wasn't anywhere near good enough to win the division. But if this first year with a new coaching staff, with a clear cut, high level, elite talent at the most important position on the field without a great supporting cast. The supporting cast is super average. And they won 12 games. Sure, you can point to schedule. You can point to the fact that they didn't beat a playoff team other than Philadelphia. But they played the people they played on their schedule. You can point to all the close games. Look at the last few. You know, four straight walk-off or four straight wins in the last 30 seconds of the game. Pretty incredible. They've had the ball roll their way. They've had Lady Luck kind of shine her best on them this year. But still, 12 wins. You know, the Parcells, you are what your record says you are. I've never believed that all the way through, because the bottom line is there have been some very good football teams who, you know, end up having a lot of injuries, as an example, and end up, you know, being much less than what they really should be the way they're constructed. But for the most part, it's a true statement. And Washington won 12 games. When are we ever going to win 11 again? We did that last week. How about 12? 12-5. Man, you look at the standings, though, to finish up this season in the NFC. What an impressive season in the NFC. I mean, last night you had the first ever matchup in the regular season between two 14-win teams, and man, did Detroit. That was impressive. Aaron Glenn last night, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, wow. He did what I think teams should do against Minnesota and Sam Darnold. And we've talked a lot about the Vikings this year. He's not great with lots of pressure because he tends to hold it a bit too long. I think I counted 5 easy touchdown passes he missed because he was so rattled with the pressure. But Detroit 15-2, Minnesota 14-3, and Green Bay 11-6 in one division. In one division, 3 teams generated 40 wins. Philly 14-3, Washington 12-5. In the NFC West, you had two 10-7 teams in the Rams and Seahawks. And the NFC South was the weakest division in the NFC. But man, the Bucs have been surging. And that's next for us. And we will begin talking about that today. Not going to wait until Wednesday or Thursday to preview the upcoming opponent. The next game is one and done time, playoff time. And let's face it, yesterday's game had a lot to it, like a lot of the games have had this year. But it was, as it turns out, it was thrilling, but it was unnecessary because the Bears beat the Packers. That was quite the 30-second stretch, if you were watching both, as I was, simultaneously. Denton, I'm assuming you had both going in front of you, Packers, Bears, Washington, Dallas.
I was just watching our game because I was in a studio with only one operating television. So I only had the opportunity to watch one, but I was following it on social media. On the other hand, it felt like that must have been a roller coaster in live action.
It was, I think, roughly about 20 seconds of real-time difference between the game-winning kick at Lambeau for Chicago to beat the Packers, which meant Washington had clinched the 6th seed, and then the snap that followed to Marcus Mariota before throwing the touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin with 2 seconds. It was, I think, at most 20 seconds, depending on your delay, you know, whether you're watching on YouTube or, you know, cable or however. It was somewhere probably between like a 10 and 20 second difference, but it was truly thrilling to watch those things unfold because I was thinking about this last night, and that is just if the Chicago kick, let's just say it happened 3 minutes before Washington got into that position down at the goal line or down at the 5-yard line at the end, and Quinn and the coaching staff found out that Green Bay had lost and Washington had clinched the 6th seed. And then the third and goal from the five, let's just say, was incomplete. On fourth and goal, you absolutely go for it. You don't go to overtime. You know, that's what people say, coaches will say all the time, we're focused on our game, we're focused on our stuff, but that's where it would have been advantageous for Washington if there had been enough time to know. And I'm giving you a hypothetical, obviously, but you would have gone for the win if you knew you would clinch this seed. Why risk an overtime period and putting your players out there for potentially an extra quarter, risk from injury, when you now have your playoff fate determined? You can't move out of the sixth seed. Well, maybe it was because we want to win 12 games, not 11. That would have been an interesting scenario. It's one of the reasons the NFL tries very hard in that final, on that final Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, to make sure that teams under are playing at the exact same time when the results affect each other. Thrilling ending, thrilling afternoon, really excited for Marcus Mariota, who, let's face it, in his two opportunities this year, he has done really well against Carolina and then against Dallas. So let's start with this. I'm going to get to my game take. And there's a lot to that game yesterday, a lot. And a lot of it is about projecting for the upcoming matchup against Tampa Bay, because there are some concerning aspects to this team right now. I don't know that there are any new concerns necessarily, other than any sort of injuries, and we'll have to see, and we'll probably get an update. I'm assuming Jaden is fine. Mild soreness is what Quinn referred to, which is why he didn't play the second half. By the way, I was all for that. Once Christina Pink, I think her name was, once she reported that Jaden had gone to the tent to get knee, hip, thigh, whatever it was looked at, I was like, this ain't worth it. Make sure that he is fine for next week. Now, I wanted to be the six. I didn't want to go to Philly. But, you know, at that point, Chicago was up 14-3 on the Packers, and Malik Willis was in the game because Jordan Love had gotten hurt. And then you had Luvu, but he came back. You had Brandon Coleman. We'll see about his status. Man, it is going to be really important that they get Biadasz back. It's going to be really important that Lattimore's healthy for the upcoming week. But still, lots to get to as it relates to the matchup for next week. It is Sunday Night Football, NBC, 8 o'clock kick in Tampa. The Bucs are 3-point favorites in the game. Makes sense. I think when you and I first started to talk about it, before you looked it up on Friday, Denton, I guessed 4. I think you guessed the number, didn't you? You guessed 3.
I guess 3. Did you guess 3? I guess 3.5, but the look ahead when we looked at it on Friday was 2.5.
Right. I actually, after the show, I found another look ahead that had 3, too. So whatever, it was 2.5, 3. I guess that it would be 4. I thought if they played the Rams, it would be 3, 3.5. I thought Tampa might be perceived as a tougher matchup with the way they've been playing. But look, this is a total winnable playoff game, despite some of the concerns that we will get to. But this is a winnable game in Tampa on Sunday night. Weather, by the way, you know, the long range temperatures in the at kickoff in the 50s and clear skies. That's as of now what we have for next Sunday night. The weather around here might be much worse, but still, I would have rather played at home, even in bad weather, versus on the road. You know, I don't want to take a lot of time to appreciate this regular season, which is now completed, because it ain't over yet now that we're in the postseason and we've got a legitimate playoff game to get excited about. But at some point, we will have time to talk about 12-5, the best regular season since 91, as we, you know, all know and all remember, even if you weren't alive for it. The 5-game win streak to end the season after they had lost 3 in a row. Dan Quinn, by the way, now is a head coach in this league. Atlanta and 1 year in Washington, has a final 4 games of the regular season record of 20 and 4. 4-0 here in Washington. He was 16-4 in Atlanta in his final four games of the season. When you get that kind of, you know, trend, you have that kind of data, and it's not, you know, based on 2 years. You know, you start looking at, you know, a comparison to some of the greats like Gibbs. I'm not putting Quinn in Gibbs's category. What I'm referring to is specifically this data point that he has consistently, as a head coach, gotten his teams to win a lot at the end of the regular season. And he's done it here. Now, you can say 5 turnovers and they won, 13 penalties and they won, 64 first half yards against the Cowboys playing Trey Lance, and they barely won. You can point to all that, but the bottom line is the dude is 20-4 in the final four games of regular season, as a head coach. This season was a massive surprise. I know that some of you know this. And I'm not doing this for the purposes of patting myself on the back. I did predict 10-7 before the year started. And as many of you pointed out last week when they won 11, man, you were way off. Yeah, I was. I was 2 games off. I didn't really think or expect a 10-7 or better season. I just had confidence in the quarterback and in the head coach, maybe more than some of you did. And by the way, it was just more or less like, I haven't picked them to be good in a long time. Why not this year? Let's roll with it and see what happens. But man, was this unexpected. You know, it produced this season so many memorable moments. I mean, you just go through them all. And we'll have, again, more time to do this when the season ends. But they won a game without punting in week 2 against a team that didn't have a kicker. They threw a ridiculous, you know, the connection between Jaden and Terry on Monday Night Football, which I think was really the first stand-up moment like, holy my God, what a throw. They just rolled up 38 on the road against the Bengals on Monday Night Football. And then the Ravens game for me was like, this was impressive. The Ravens are really good. They didn't have their best running back in the moment, Brian Robinson Jr. And Jaden hung in there and had to hang in there and throw from the pocket all day. That was impressive. Clearly the Hail Mary was that first, if the Cincinnati finish wasn't, it was that first stand up and just scream out loud moment. The Steelers game was a thriller. They were within a quarter of an inch of having a first down and probably going on to win that game. The Dallas game in which Jaden threw an 86-yard touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin with 14 seconds to go down 6. And then to miss the extra point. The Saints game, the Saints going for 2 to win it at the end. The Eagles game here, my God, are you kidding me? What a thriller. Down 13 in the second half to come back. The Atlanta game, hanging on by a thread in regulation, winning the toss and having Jaden completely take the game over. And then yesterday, in trouble pretty much most of the day for some of the reasons we talked about on Friday, that it could be a problematic game. And Marcus Mariota comes in the second half and he is dealing and drives them 91 yards to win the game on a touchdown pass with 2 seconds to go. I mean, the memorable moments the season produced. The season produced one of the best rookie quarterback seasons of all time, if not the best, and the clear-cut, obvious offensive rookie of the year. And he's a quarterback to boot. It resulted, this season did, in an all-time franchise mark for touchdown receptions by the team's number one wide receiver. I understand there's 17 games, and there's one extra game for him to have done it, but we evolved, you know, some of us remember going from 14 to 16, and a lot of the 14-game records were beaten, and we don't really refer to the 16-game records with an asterisk. You know, 14 followed a 12-game season. I wasn't alive for that. You had so much that we will spend time looking back on. And then, you know, what about what's to come after whatever happens in the next week or beyond? You know, you had a 12-win season that ended with a wild card berth with this roster. Imagine with a healthy, you know, slew of picks, with the top three or four cap space situation in the league, with a talent evaluating front office that I think most of us already trust. Imagine what, you know, they're putting together, especially knowing that you got the quarterback, which is number one in terms of sustainability of competing and contending. Maybe, you know, we've got 12-plus win seasons that win divisions and capture home field ahead of us. But the gift of this season is going to be something we spend a lot of time talking about, and how to improve on this season when the playoffs are over. Because the NFL playoffs are the best. I mean, I love March Madness. I think the NHL playoffs are awesome. The NBA playoffs, I know some of you don't like it. I think it's an incredible two-month show. But the NFL playoffs and the nature of one and done in this upcoming weekend and the weekend that follows in particular, you know, this wild card weekend with six playoff games and the next weekend with four divisional round games, this is about as good as it gets in sports. And the great thing about the one and done nature is it produces the unexpected all the time. The NFL playoffs get crazy every once in a while. You know, every sport that has one and done versus best of, you know, seven or five, has the, you know, capability and usually results in a lot of didn't see that coming. Because you're vulnerable to that in a one-and-done environment. And the NFL produces in the postseason unexpected all the time. And realistically, when you think about the NFC right now, I mean, Philly's really good and they're complete. But what is the status of Jalen Hurts? We'll see. Minnesota is a damn good team and a complete team, but you saw their problem last night. It's something Denton and I have talked about kind of on and off all year. Sam Darnold had a great year. I've been a Sam Darnold fan, just thought he needed the right system, but he does hold it too long. He does panic at times with a little bit of pressure, and last night you saw that, but they still have an excellent football team. Detroit was awesome last night, but they are so susceptible right now defensively, even though it didn't happen against them last night. Man, I think Aaron Glenn, I've already said it, put on one of the great coaching coordinator displays of in recent memory last night in one of the most important regular season games we've seen in a long time. The NFC, you know, I don't think of the NFC like I did last year with the 49ers entering into it. I don't think of the NFC like 2 years ago with the Niners and the Eagles. I don't think there's anybody so daunting right now that you can't envision something nuts happening in the next few weeks. I can't wait for it, and I can't wait to watch our team with this quarterback. By the way, very interested to see the coaching staff and how it handles Cliff Kingsbury's last NFL playoff game, in which he was the head coach in Arizona, was one of the worst performances by a playoff team ever. The Arizona Cardinals played the LA Rams after the 2021 season wild card weekend. It was the first of the six-game wild card weekend Monday night game. They played at SoFi against the Rams. Rams went on to win the Super Bowl, and they got destroyed, and they looked totally ill-prepared offensively. However, I think Jaden's much better than Kyler Murray, and Cliff Kingsbury's not the head coach. He's the offensive coordinator. Dan Quinn, as a head coach, the last time he was a head coach in the postseason, 28-3 in the Super Bowl. How did that work out for him? Wait a minute. Did they go to the playoffs the next year? I forget. Were they in the playoffs in 2017? Maybe that wasn't his last playoff game. But anyway, I can't wait to see, you know, how this group that we're still just getting to know, because you don't know as much as you think you know about your team until this time of the year, until they play a game that is win or go home, do or die. It is the most pressure-packed environment there is in this sport, and they're going to play in it Sunday night at Tampa on the road. These are the games where the moments that you get to watch Jaden Daniels in, you get to watch Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. coach in, you learn so much about your team, your coach, your players, your quarterback. Your quarterback and your coach get judged on the game they'll play Sunday night and maybe the game they'll play after that. I do think that some of you have this feeling inside that this is icing on the cake, that this is playing with house money. But I don't. I understand, and I'm not criticizing those that feel that way. But I think they're capable of producing good enough football to win, you know, in the postseason here. This is not, you know, a short field of maybe one or two contenders in the NFC. With that said, they've got to produce better football than they played yesterday. That is for sure. I'm going to get to that in my game take. I think the most crucial thing to watch this week is the injury report. Jaden's got to be 100, and I hopefully he will be. Didn't sound like there was any concern after the game. You've got to get Lattimore back. Luvu came back into the game. That was fine. Eckler looked good. That was good news. You've got to have Tyler Biadasz back on the road Sunday night. This week, the ability to put their best players on the field Sunday night will be crucial. All right, my game take, what I liked, what I didn't like, other observations, and then we will start to look ahead to Sunday. We'll give you guys a chance to weigh in. I know that most of you are home from work, but we'll see how the morning proceeds. Ben Standig will join us at 12. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.